last week on the Nolan Show. It's just after 20 to 10. We interviewed the Environment Minister, Mark H. Durkin, after he said that he wants to license bonfires. Mr. Durkin said that he would prefer a total ban, but he had to be sensitive to cultural needs.
The option that I currently favour, while I would ultimately like to see a ban on all bonfires, I think realistically option three, that introduction of licence in the
bonfires. But how would that even work, with respect, Minister? Would you go to an office and apply for a licence? I mean, what are people going to do? Because the bottom line is, if you or I were to build a bonfire somewhere tomorrow, what would happen? We'd be told to move on, and if we didn't do that, we'd probably be arrested. Why aren't you going for a blanket ban if you think that's a good idea?
You're dead right. However, I do think we have to be realistic, and while my ultimate aim and goal would be a blanket ban, we have to bring people with us. And I think having a huge crackdown like that isn't going to be particularly easy to enforce, if it's enforceable at all. Like, enforcement with respect to this option that I choose to go down now would require a multi-agency approach. And the preliminary analysis suggests that it might be possible to include a bonfire licensing system as part of existing legislation.
Well, a local academic says that licensing will only make matters worse. Dr. Johnny Byrne, who's from the University, the Ulster University, made the comments to the Belfast Telegraph. Dr. Byrne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I mean, basically what you're saying is you're never going to be able to police this. Is that basically right?
I suppose, yes, at one level. First of all, I welcome the Minister's comments in terms of the issue and actually raising it in the Assembly, because I think that is a positive step. But I think that in terms of licensing, I think that brings with it its own challenges and problems in terms of policing and in terms of enforcement.
You've advised Belfast City Council on their management programme in the past. So I mean, how would licensing work, or do you think it's just far too much hassle to even start to try and implement it?
I think that, it's a challenge. I think this isn't new. Now, Margaret Ritchie tried to float this in 2004 with the NIO in terms of trying to put forward some ideas around the licensing of bonfires. Essentially, the minister had outlined three options, and I think actually option one has most benefits in terms of working at a grassroots level with local government and agencies in terms to address these issues through voluntary codes of conduct, etc., as opposed to trying to enforce it through regulations and trying to police it out. Because I think that what we're talking about here is actually challenging behaviours. And these are historical behaviours that we're trying to look at in 2015 and moving forward. And I don't think a licence per se will actually fix that. I think this has to come from the community itself.
The problem with that is, I mean, and I know people will immediately be phoning and saying, yes, there are many, many good examples, because we've had these arguments over and over and over again, particularly during July, and there have been many examples where people have phoned in and said how their bonfires have changed, and others will point to what happened in East Belfast when community representatives were trying to persuade those building that the massive bonfire that was close to the houses, and basically they were holding their hands up in despair, and nobody would listen to anybody during the course of those discussions. So maybe leaving it to the communities may work in some areas, but it may not work in others.
Absolutely, Joel. There's two points in relation to that. We always hear about the negative stories, and rightly so. We hear about those communities that are at risk in terms of bonfires, issues around community safety, issues around environmental concerns, and issues around sectarianism and good relations. We very rarely hear about good news stories such as Woodvale, or issues where people are trying to transform the bonfire to be one of a number of events on the 11th of July. I suppose in an ideal scenario, you don't deal with bonfires in isolation. You deal with them against the wider issues around culture, celebration and commemoration. So we need to look at bonfires in the remit of flags, of parades, of remembrance, of how we actually deal with moving forward in a shared society. And I know that sounds very holistic in its approach, but essentially, if we deal with it in isolation, all you're really doing is plugging the dam with your thumb, and the leak's going to come from somewhere else in terms of negative behaviours. So we need to think about this in terms of looking at the wider issues around culture and identity. And while the Minister's right in terms of raising it as an issue, it needs to be raised against all the other issues, and this is where we need the executive and politicians to come together in terms of trying to address this.
Well, Basil McRae is listening to this, leader of NI21, community worker Phil Hamilton also on the line. Is legislation the answer for this, Basil? I mean, what do you make of what the Minister's saying in terms of these licences? Would you support it?
Well, the first thing to say is nobody's trying to stop people expressing their culture or their cultural identity. But where the building of bonfires is dangerous, it causes damage to other places and other people, that's something you have to stop and control. My biggest concern about bonfires, though, is that they get taken over by people that are in quotes the community, but actually end up being paramilitary.
So would you license them?
I see nothing wrong going to people that are legitimate organisations. I mean, after all, many people go to the council and get a grant of £2,000 to help them build the bonfire. If you can do that, if you can apply for the grant, why can't you apply for a licence? And if you get out of line, if you do it wrong, if you use it for the wrong reasons, then you shouldn't be allowed to build it. But if you work with the community, if you get your local real people involved, then, of course, everybody should be supportive of it.
So it would be the same in Europe as, say, for example, a fireworks display. You need to apply for a licence before you could have one.
Yes, I see nothing wrong where you're having large, inflammable structures which are a safety issue for people, where you go and get it checked out, regulated properly, and provided you do it properly, provided you take proper advice, proper cognizance of the issues around, then you should not have a problem with licensing. My biggest problem, though, just to be clear about this, is that many good bonfires are run by community organisations, which then get funding, which then attract the interest of paramilitaries that say, we think we should have that funding because that's in our area.
Well, where's your evidence for that?
Where's the evidence?
Well, I'd take you to the evidence on Thursday if you want to, whether it be a community meeting. If you want to go and see people out there, are people intimidated by the fact that their bonfire is not a bonfire belonging to a certain side? And this is an issue that's underlying a whole lot of things in Northern Ireland. This idea that the community is doing it, it is not the community that's doing it. It is paramilitaries, and they're using it to mark their territory to say, this is our way.
And you have clear evidence of this, that this is happening?
Absolutely clear evidence, and I will come and see people once you do. I don't know if somebody's laughing.
Yeah, well, it's community worker Phil Hamilton, obviously, doesn't feel that this is the case. Phil Hamilton.
I'm actually bewildered by Basil's comments. I mean, I'd be very, very interested to see where his proof comes.
Well, he says he has the evidence and he's quite happy to show it to you.
Well, I would be wanting to see that because I work quite closely with ACT, who are on the ground. I've also speak to Reach and Charter, which are doing absolutely fantastic work. And to turn around and for Basil to turn around and say, because money and funding is given to bonfires, the paramilitaries appear, is unbelievable, Basil. Out in Newton Abbey, no money is given to bonfires. It's given in kind. So if a bonfire wants to have a fun day, such as bouncy castles, if they want to have a firework display, council procure that. No money is handed over. So, Basil, I am absolutely astounded. And
let's be honest. We live in the real world. It's not unknown for paramilitaries to appear at bonfires on the 11th night.
Well, no, we're not saying that at all. But what we're turning around and saying, that comment that all of a sudden there is community bonfires that happens then when funding is giving over, the paramilitaries then take over, that is absolutely ridiculous. And I can't believe
that. You wouldn't support that?
But them comments.
If you found information to that effect, you wouldn't support that.
What's up, Basil?
If you found out that there was information that supports what I've said, you wouldn't support that. You would think it's a bad thing.
I'm a loyalist and a gangster. Let's put this straight, Basil.
Correct.
And what I'm trying to say is, I know plenty of examples of community bonfires that happens, and I know for a fact that no paramilitaries go near that bonfire. You know what I mean? What they do is they actually support it. In actual fact, in Newton Abbey, what they have done, they've got more community bonfires involved in the protocol, encouraging local communities to come along on the journey.
So I'm telling you that there may be some good examples of where people work together. That's fine. But I can also tell you that there are documented areas where people that were running a community bonfire, cross-community bonfire, where it was a family event, that whenever other people came along and said, that's our space, that's our bonfire, and we want the money, but they didn't get the money. Do you know what they did? They walked in at 10:30 in the evening and lit the bonfire so that they couldn't get it in that particular area, and then went off to their own bonfires.
How many bonfires are we talking that this happens? Basil?
I don't want to get into giving specific details. If you want to give a number.
Because if we know how many bonfires, especially around the 11th night, and I want to know Basil's proof here, Because what this is doing is undermining the work that ACT is doing, undermining the work that Reach and Charter is doing. And I think that Basel needs to recognise that them three organisations are doing some fantastic work.
What?
And Basel, you don't see the work that is actually happening. This afternoon, I'm sitting down with people talking about bonfires, how to improve different things. ACT is continuously doing it. Reach is continuously doing it. Charter's doing it.
Well, listen, we'll try to get back to the main issue. Maybe you two can get together and you can have the evidence or whatever, Phil, and you can talk to Basel in terms of the point that he's made, and he's made it well. Let's get back to the issue in terms of the licensing. Of a license for a bonfire in a similar way as you would have one if you need to have a fireworks display. Basel has made the point, if people who are organising a bonfire are prepared to fill in the forms to perhaps try and get access to funding, what would be the difference between then filling in a form to acquire a license? How would that go down, do you feel?
Well, first of all, I know plenty of bonfires that do not get funding on a wild run. They engage with all the statins agencies. I think what has to happen is it has to happen within communities. I back Dr. Byrne completely on what he turns around and says, that it has to work within communities. What my concern is, first of all, is what is the definition of a bonfire? Bearing in mind that this is not specifically just for loyalists. Republicans have bonfires, completely different. And there's people without say that, which would have bonfires such as Halloween. Secondly, how much would it cost to enforce? And most importantly, who is going to enforce this? Bearing in mind that police regulations and the police has changed, major changes since the pattern. I met the police there yesterday and they were telling me some of the difficulties that they have in front of them. Surely the amount of money to enforce this would be better put into resources into people such as ACT, Charter and Reach, and basically support them to engage with communities. What we have to remember, and this is what people don't get, that different communities are at different capacity levels. And what we want to try and do is educate everyone so we get them to the same level.
So licensing wouldn't work, in short, for you?
Well, I think Dr. Byrne has turned around and says that it's basically going to entrench communities, and I would totally agree with that. I think what we're doing is we're getting good, positive feedback. I'm not saying that there's not any challenges in some of the bonfires, but people like myself and other people do this voluntarily to try and get a better solution. So what I would turn around and say is licensing, in my view, will certainly not work. It would entrench a lot of people. And what it would do, it would make my job and other people's jobs a lot harder.
There you are, Basil. It would make things worse.
Well, first of all, I'm fed up being threatened by people that if you don't go and get a regulation that we're going to go and build bigger bonfires and you can't control, it's all going to go and get worse. The whole idea about having a cultural celebration is great. I see absolutely nothing wrong that if you're going to build a really big fire, that you don't go and get it checked out. If you want the definition of a bonfire, you know what a bonfire is? It is a really big fire close to people's houses. And so to get into this issue, there is a wider community here that has to be talked to. And it's not just those that go to the bonfire or those that support it. That's fine. You need to make sure that the entire community is involved. And there are issues of intimidation. There are issues of people being worried about their property. There are people being worried about what's happening to the environment. All of these things are legitimate concerns. Now, if you try and manage the situation sensibly, nobody's trying to tell people what to do. People are trying to say, let's have a reasonable argument on it. But if you do not follow the guidelines, then you do not get a license and you do not get to build your bonfire. That seems to me eminently sensible, and I really don't understand why there's an issue with it.
John's in Belfast this morning. There were two Johns in Belfast actually this morning. We'll go for the benefit of Leah, who's pressing the buttons. One of the Johns has now disappeared. We'll go for the John who's on purple. So, morning, John.
Morning, John.
You're purple, John, as opposed to who was yellow, John. Go on ahead, John.
I would support Phil there and what Phil was saying. The problem is, years ago, every street had a bonfire, and the Protestant community moved away from that onto one major bonfire in most areas and having fun days concerning that bonfire. If they want to bring in licensing, the only way that would work, it wouldn't work, because people would just revert back to tape and have bonfires in every street corner like they used to do.
But they'd need a license.
No, you just build a bonfire in every street corner. The fire brigade wouldn't be able to get through and do their job at night. the ambulance service wouldn't be able to get through and do their job that night, and the council would have to come back later on and spend thousands of pounds tarmacking roads, repairing pavements, and is that what the SDLP want?
Well, Basil, John thinks that would be the result of introducing licensing.
Well, they're already paying £160,000 for councils to clear up after the existing bonfires.
And so most bonfires, Basil, in Protestant areas is one or two major bonfires in a large estate, say, like Rathcoole, instead of having 12, 24 bonfires the way they used to.
So there's nothing wrong with having the bonfires. There's nothing wrong with... this is a cultural identity. This is something that we believe in. There's a long tradition of doing it.
What would have to happen in your eyes, Basil, to get a licence? What are the boxes that would need to be ticked?
You'd have to apply, in my view, to the local council to say, I am Organiser X, so that people know who they are. These are not faceless men coming along to do it. Since I'm an organiser, here's what I'd like to do. You would probably go through a checklist. Have you spoken to the fire brigade? Have you made arrangements to make sure that they... there's no unsatisfactory materials in it. You'd go through a training programme probably as well, and you would make sure that the process was properly organised.
If there were flags on the bonfire, would you get a licence? I mean, would that incur some sort of penalty in the future, or election posters?
I do think that there's an issue about if this is a cultural celebration and people getting together, I do think that you should not use it as an attack weapon on other people's cultures. Now, when you look at when you get flags that are flying, not even on the bonfire, but you'll have other flags that fly around the area, that is a different matter to simply having a cultural expression. And in my view, paramilitary flags should not be allowed in and around those areas. It should not be subverted for one particular organisation's strategy. The whole way forward in this is to try and get people together. Talk about the benefits of having a community organisation, and if you do it properly, why would you not want to get it licensed and say, listen, we are a reputable organisation here, doing it in the right way?
Dr. Byrne, just quickly before I let you go, I mean, is this the fear that licensing is seen as some sort of attack and all of a sudden you have chaos and everybody goes off and just does whatever they want and takes absolutely no notice of what anybody's saying, whether it be in their own community or anywhere?
Yes, not to sit in fence, but Phil and Basil's points, there's validity in both their points. The danger with licensing is that you go down the route of criminalisation and you go down the route of potential demonisation within communities. For me, the argument's bigger than that. It's about, again, when we had the debate about flags a few years ago, we talked about putting in licences for flags. Again, around parades and protests, we talk about regulating behaviour through licences, etc. And now we're talking about licensing of bonfires. The fundamental point is we're failing to address the issues here, which is about how do we actually live together and share and celebrate our past in a way that is not seen to antagonise the other community.
Let me get the other John in, because he's only going to get 30 seconds. I know I teed him up earlier. So, John, you're the yellow John. Far ahead, you have 30 seconds.
Right. Why are we talking about bonfires? The rest of the world are concerned about the environment and air pollution. Europe are threatening to give us hefty fines because we're not cleaning up our environment well enough. And we, on the other hand, are giving licences out in £2,000 for to do it. Absolute madness.
John, thank you very much. You even stuck to time. We'll have John back. He's a man that knows what 30 seconds is.